You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. Welcome to episode 16 of Action Magazine, the podcast. In today's conversation, we're going to talk to Bart Schrijver, director of the new drama feature film, The North. Let's get to it. How are you today?
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah, good. I'm in the UK. I have a screening of my film tonight here at the festival. And excited. Yeah.
That's awesome. And which festival are you in?
It's a smaller festival in the north and in the south of England. It's called the Purbeck Film Festival.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
Something that we set up, I think, a while ago. So, no, I'm really, it's always fun to go and to have Q&As and talk to people and see what they think. Yeah.
Definitely. It's a great time. Let me just introduce myself. I'm Victoria. I'm the editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. Yeah. And our magazine gives voice to emerging creatives, emerging filmmakers out there. I'm a filmmaker myself, so I try to bring different questions, a different perspective to interviews to inspire those that are students, those that are learning, those that are indie filmmakers that want inspirations from more experienced people like you. So it's a pleasure to talk to filmmakers out there. I get to know their stories, what inspire them. And I wanted to start by asking you to introduce yourself and the film that you're making.
I'm Bart Schrijver. I'm from the Netherlands, I together with two of my colleagues, I have a production company called Tuesday Studio, which we set up I think 6 years ago. But I've been making films for the last 11 years. Wow. Starting out with this project, I think that it's originally from the US. It's called 48 Hour Film Edition. So I started out doing those, which was just so much fun, but then kind of slowly climbed up making short films and started making features with my company. At the moment, mostly about people that are in the outdoors and hiking, because that's something that I really enjoy. But also it's something that is productionally doable with a little bit less budget and less people.
That's true, yeah. And the film that you're now, you know, sharing is The North, and I've seen it over the weekend. Congratulations. I mean, I can see the hard work that you and your team put in. It's incredible. As a filmmaker, I know how hard it is, especially on a tight budget, to make something happen, especially like that. And it's beautiful, the landscapes, all of it, the drama, the stories, the two friends together. You got it all there, all the drama. Amazing work. So I have a lot of questions about it that I'm curious to know. First, just introduce us to the story, to the narrative, the characters.
Yeah. So the film is about two old friends, Chris and Yuiz. They're in their early 30s and they were roommates and best friends when they were in college, when they were in their early 20s. But then because they were from different countries, Chris is from the Netherlands and Yuiz is from Spain, they moved away and they haven't really been into much contact in the last 10 years. But now they've chosen to walk 600 kilometers together through Scotland, also to kind of reconnect between themselves. But I think also both of them have their own reasons of going to kind of step out of their lives for a little bit and reconnect with themselves. And then the story is about this discovery, the discovery of the nature of their friendship and of some parts of themselves that they need to think about.
And how was the character development? Was it something that, how were you inspired to pick specifically those two characters together and develop them? How was that process for you?
Well, the first, like the screenwriting process is an interesting one because we set up and wrote and financed and pre-produced everything in 5 months. We actually had 7 months, but my wife got pregnant and our baby was going to be born in September. So, which he was, so we had to kind of move it up even more. So we only had 5 months. So I needed to get something that was that I was familiar with. And it's a story that I had for a long time, because I think in 2017, 18, me and a friend, we hiked 3,000 kilometers through New Zealand.
Wow.
So you have both of the islands, and we walked from the most northern part to the most southern part, also sleeping in the same tent. So that was a big inspiration. It's not so much the things that they're struggling with, but more how they go about interacting with each other. And just these little things of situations that I really had from, and I had a diary from my whole journey there. So it was very easy to get back into the situation, and I had that specific moment or that specific moment. But then the two characters are both, I took them from myself in my, also in my filmmaking journey, but in my personal journey in the last years, where I noticed that I was getting stuck.
Yeah.
In this sort of self-constructed cage of ideas and rules and things of how the world worked, and it was very difficult to get out of that. And both the characters are in this situation where they are, Luis is more outward, thinking that the world is against him and really needs to prove stuff, and then Chris is more stuck in this pattern of this is how life is and how it works, and you should live your life like that. And I kind of wanted to show that it is exactly the same thing. And I could put a lot of these conclusions that I had about my own life, I could put them in the two characters. Yeah.
That's amazing. And talking about the pre-production process, I bet it was a bit different than an usual film, because you didn't know what to expect since you guys were actually going, you know, hiking with the actors and all of that. How did you take the pre-production process, the location scouting? How was that all planned together?
Yeah, so the because we really go, and also because our main cast and crew is, we're like between 6 and 8 people. So that's it. So it's a very different, also if I could show you my budgets and my planning, like we don't have call sheets. Because who are we going to send a call sheet to? We're all there. We're all in the tent. They're next to me. So the whole thing of how we are taught, or how people are taught to make a film, this is very different.
Yeah.
Which is, it's interesting, also very freeing. So in the pre-production, I need to go to the location. So I walk the whole path by myself.
Wow.
Because also in the screenwriting, I'm not going to go like, okay, I have something to say and this needs to happen on that point and that needs to happen. I have the route.
Yeah.
So what I do is I don't do 3 acts. I split the route up in logical sequences. Mm-hmm. And then I see like, okay, but these are the locations we come past. So let's put scenes in these locations.
Yeah.
And so it's the route and the place that we're walking is so much, it guides the whole story, guides the whole principle, and also the scene. So for that, I need to have seen everything. And then I write a script. So the whole film is scripted. And then we go. And that's kind of it. So also with the cinematographer, we don't do shot lists. Anything, because it's we can't. He hasn't seen the place yet. We don't know what the weather is going to be like. We don't know what kind of ideas come. So we just have a couple of ground rules that we said, okay, when this happens, we do that. When this happens, we do that. And for this film, what it was mostly was that the camera needed to feel like a third character.
Yeah.
So it was not possible for us to jump through space and time to someone else.
Yeah.
So that when, for example, Chris is by himself for a while, we cannot jump to Yui's.
Yeah.
Because we're with Chris. And then in the second half of the film, we kind of figured out that, okay, we can kind of cross between one and take over to the other one. But that's not something that was thought out in pre-production. That came because of, we had this simple rule. And then we just kind of go.
Yeah.
And we figure most of it then out en route.
Wow, that's so interesting. That's very interesting. And it almost felt like a documentary in a way for me. Mm-hmm. Because of those sitting moments with the character, you know, it, like you said, it, the camera was like a third character, and I felt that because of the pacing, sometimes we just sat with him and observed the scene for long enough that we almost felt like we were with him. And also the sound, the way you approached sound was very interesting, all the nature sounds and the silences that made the scenes more powerful and the pacing even slower, that we could feel what the character was feeling. So that for me was very interesting. And I was going to ask you, how did you make those decisions about pacing, sound, to create that atmosphere?
Yeah, the sound was something that that was already in my first film, and the pacing as well. Mm-hmm. So the idea in the first film was, when you hike in nature, it takes long.
Yeah.
So that a shot is long, that a scene is long, that we're there for a long time, it's there because that's what it feels like to be there. And the idea of, okay, I want you to come on this journey with us. And it's kind of, if you are walking through the rain the whole day and I just make a shot of 10 seconds, people will say like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
But then if I put it on there for 2 minutes, maybe you'll get a sense of, oh, this is taking really long. But that's also the essence of it. Yeah, it takes the whole day. It's long. And with sound, it's the same. Is there's no music in nature. Like the what I noticed now even more with the North is that sound puts you in the location. Yeah. So the image is what you see in front of you, and that's great. But if the sound is also behind you, especially in the cinemas when you have surround, it makes it so much, you can close your eyes and you're there.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we wanted to push a little bit more on this film. And also what I noticed when we were making the film is that, it happened especially to me during the last scene on the beach, where I was walking on that beach the night before we were going to shoot it. And I was thinking, okay, what do I want to do here? How are we going to do it? And I was so stuck in my head. And then all of a sudden the wind was going pretty loud. And then I heard the sound of the sand over the beach against my feet. And that sand, that sound took me out of my mind and placed me in the location. And I kind of stood there for a moment, but being in the moment and listening to the sounds and listening to the details, and that for me is like, oh, this is what sound can do. And that then enhanced what I wanted to do with that scene. Like, yeah, he's in his head fully, but what takes him out of it is not this gigantic nature. You know, that's seeing that it's the result of hearing the sounds and then feeling that he's
exactly
there. So the sound design, like throughout the whole film, kind of, I wanted to enhance that and really put you in the locations. Yeah.
And it worked, because I paid attention to that throughout the film and noticed, like, it was amazing, an amazing effect on me and how the characters were portrayed. So I love that. It was very different from what you see in other movies. And talking about some of the logistical choices that you made, because you had to pack the gear with you. That's very challenging with a small crew, you know, a schedule to follow somewhat. What were some choices that you made? What equipment did you use, if you don't mind sharing that? I think it's a lot of people would be curious to know, you know, what cameras, what equipment, how did you put that all together with your crew? Who did what?
So just like the crew consists of me, two camera guys in this, one for a behind the scenes documentary and one for the film. Mm-hmm. And then we had the two actors and a sound guy.
Wow.
And we had 2 to 3 people, production crew, following us around. So we went into nature for 4 or 5 days,
mm-hmm.
and then they would be in the end, or sometimes they would walk towards us with some extra stuff, and then they would bring us to the next location. So usually 3 to 5 days we were by ourselves.
Wow.
Which means that the stuff that we're going to bring needs to be as lightweight as possible,
yeah.
and as durable as possible. So for cameras, we had, it's the same as what we had with the first film, but now in the North as well, so we had a deal with Red.
Oh, yeah.
So we had Red Komodo with us. But it's an insane thing. It is 10 by 10 by 10 centimeters. It weighs a kilo.
Yes.
And the picture that you get out of it is amazing.
Yes.
And added bonus is that it has this Wi-Fi thing that you can connect it to my phone. So my phone then doubles as my screen.
Wow.
So if I need, usually I just like to watch it through just next to the camera, but I also have my phone so I can watch what happens. We have a Ronin with us.
Yeah.
That's it. So the Ronin, just Tuan, the camera guy, he operates, he does the focus and everything with this. He does it by himself. all the crazy long shots, it's just him. We have, so with batteries, that's the thing where it becomes trickier. So we cannot bring all the batteries we want because that would be too heavy.
Yeah.
So I think we had 7 or 8 batteries. But that means that we shoot as if we shoot on film.
Yeah.
So, but battery life is the film print.
Yeah.
When we put the camera on, we need to shoot.
Yeah.
We cannot do 20 takes.
Yeah.
We have to do 3, maybe. But I think if I've ever done 5 takes, it's not too many times. So it's 3 takes usually. Because or else it's too much. And then also the edit is we don't have all the memory cards.
Yeah.
So in the first film, it happened that we shot some scenes on HD.
Okay.
But we start in 6K RAW.
Wow.
Just because the memory was gone.
Yeah.
So we really need to be careful when we put the camera on and when we shoot that we know, okay, this is what we're going to shoot. We cannot just come home with hundreds of hours of footage. So that's with the batteries that we really need to check. And then we have an umbrella for when it rains.
Yeah.
That's like the only system that we need to fix. Like with every film, me and Tuan, we fix a couple of these things that we get faster, that we get smarter. The umbrella sort of works, but it also, when there's a lot of wind, we cannot film because the Ronin couldn't steady itself.
Oh, yeah.
It was just too much wind blowing against it. So in the behind the scenes, also photos, you see us just walking around with me holding the umbrella. Then I don't see the scene as well. I just can kind of see what's going on. I can hear it. But yeah. I am making sure that the camera doesn't get wet.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the sound guy has all his own equipment. So he is like his own man band.
Yeah.
But that means that if we also sometimes have 5 days of food with us and our tents and all our gear, that I think I was most of the time above 30 kilos in my backpack.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we walk up. So if you see us, like, if there's a scene on top of a mountain, we walked to the top of that mountain.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful that you also did a documentary on the side, because we can see the behind the scenes and all the effort that you guys put in to make that work.
We noticed that there were some people there's a catering line. I'm like, no, we actually do this. Like, we've actually done this. Like,
That's incredible. And how did you guys make this documentary on the side? Where did the idea come from? How was the process to make that simultaneously?
Well, it came from the first film, but also from the essence of how we finance the film. Mm-hmm. So we don't, like in the Netherlands and in Europe, we have film funds. Mm-hmm. So you can go there. And that's kind of how all films are made.
Yeah.
So, but we didn't want to do that because it immediately goes about like hundreds of thousands of euros. And we knew that we can make this film for way less. The film is now made for 75,000 euros and the first one as well. So we thought, okay, we're so much in a niche of viewers, let's try to attract companies that are in that niche as well. So in the first film that worked, in the second film, not so much. So in the end, we had a couple of small companies and a loan and a crowdfunding for people that liked our first film. But what we did in the first film is, okay, we're going to shoot all this footage for the film. Mm-hmm. We can have some of that footage and sell it to companies with when we're wearing their clothes. So if we then also bring on a second camera person that can do that, then we don't have to take care of that. And then we were, okay, but if there's a second camera person, let's make a documentary and a behind the scenes. Just also because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
And that's just now something that we incorporated. And what we notice is, if other people like it, that's also cool. But for us as the crew, the film is sometimes more tricky to watch. But we have this almost, like a holiday video of the things that we did, which is just so much fun to watch for us. And so also in our next projects, we'll always keep doing that.
Yeah.
And somewhere in my mind, I think like if like in 20 years, you know, we're a bit older, we've done all these things, you have all this material of how we started with what we did and how it is now, and you can make something beautiful out of that again. But
exactly.
At first it's because of the way that we finance the films, but out of that came something fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's the beauty of it all. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea that you guys had. And moving to post-production, how did you combine everything together? Was that challenging? How did you approach post-production?
No, I had the crew already also from the first film. So nice thing is that there's a everyone in the, especially in post-production that worked with us in the first one, came to the second one. So the interesting thing is that because we're doing, and also with a film like this, where I kind of, I want to go to the edge of when it gets boring and then go away, you really need to stretch that. So
yeah.
The first film, we had to have so much conversations, me and Gijs, the editor.
Mm-hmm.
And now we already had that base. So you can go,
yeah.
You can move even further and think, okay, what are these details that we can go into? And with the sound designer as well, like they are also 2 years more advanced and also so much further. So we could also push that and think, okay,
yeah.
What are these little bits and pieces of details that we can go in? So I think that's where it's so nice that these people who are also my friends, that we kind of grow up together through filmmaking, and then every film, everyone gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
And we all already understand, okay, what's the essence of these stories and what do we like and where can we go and what can we try? So, like, for example, one thing, like, during filming is, because we're so little people, like, the setup time of everything, how can we get that, take that down a bit? So for the next film with the sound crew, we're gonna put microphones in all the clothes already.
Yeah.
Or in hats, because it takes so much time to put the mics on and things. But if we can just say, like, click this one and have and go,
yeah.
Because the mics are really sewn into all the clothes and all the stuff. So it's trying to think of these solutions. And every time there's new problems, new things that will come up.
Always.
And get a little bit better, I hope. Yeah.
Exactly. And how long did it take to edit this film?
Well, because I had a baby. And because the money was pretty low for what we can pay for, me and Gijs decided that we're going to do like sort of a part-time edit.
Yeah.
So, which really worked because it also gave us this moments where we can let the movie rest.
Yes.
So how long was it? I think we started in August, end of August, and we finished end of December.
Okay.
Was it September, October, November? 4.5, 4 months. More than 4 months.
Fairly quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but also because we didn't have that much footage. We had, I think, 24 hours of footage.
Wow.
So then it gets pretty quickly. And then one thing that we learned in the first film we did here as well is that a scene in a tent can be shot anywhere.
Yeah.
So some scenes in tents are shot in my parents' backyard.
Oh. That's wonderful.
During the filming, if we didn't have enough time, then I would just cut the scenes in the tent.
Yeah.
But that also gives us this extra of, after 2 months of editing, we kind of know what we still need.
Yeah.
So if we need to fix something, we need to do something, or some scenes, something's not really working, I write a new scene.
Yeah.
In a tent.
Wow.
And we put that in. So there's these little bits and pieces where we kind of fixed or enhanced the storytelling a little bit.
Yeah.
In a tent.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what do you hope people will not only take away from the film, but will feel while watching the film?
Well, something. It's tricky with this one because also the way that I set it up, the idea behind it was that it's the same as with our regular lives. They go on a journey. All these things happen. They meet all these people, but not everyone is important.
Yeah.
So when they go home, like at the end of the film, they haven't like had this big revelation of wanting to change their life. I don't really think that's how life works.
Yeah.
So they go home and some of these conversations, they will remain with them and be important.
Yeah.
And other conversations that could have been important, they will just forget.
Yeah.
And I hope that there's some scenes in the film that for the people watching is that they that really hits. And the other ones maybe less, but that's not unseen. And then that kind of stirs something. And that if they don't know what that is, that's also fine because I think that also the characters don't know exactly what's going on, but there's something going on and there's something felt. And I think feeling something, that's kind of where it starts. And the moment that we start intellectualizing that too much,
it also
breaks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you could describe this film in 3 words, what would they be?
Oof, that's tricky, eh? Yeah, I've been asked this question a couple of times, and it's always tricky.
It's always tricky, yeah.
It's always tricky, but I think describe the what the film is about, or describe the
three words that come to mind when you think about your film.
Oh yeah, okay. So for me, it's friendship. It is what is it? Time and space.
Friendship, time and space. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was there something that you wish you'd done differently? Now looking back, everything you guys did since the beginning, is there anything that you think like, oh, I should have done this, or I should have changed this, you know, as a director, as a writer?
Well, I think for me is that when I watch the film, I can feel that the first 20 minutes are still a little bit clumsy. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes because of the short period that we had in pre-production, the writing as well. And that also we came together on the first day of shooting, and half an hour later we started shooting. So we also kind of needed to get the feel of each other. For example, Bart, the actor that plays Chris, he was really on set, and 30 minutes later we started shooting.
Wow.
So I think for me, that's something that couldn't have been done different. It could not. But it's for my next film that I really see, okay, I want to already start with everyone used to the way that I work.
Yeah.
Because it's so often in films, it's that they tell actors, okay, do that, but do it quicker.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the other way around. It's like, okay, do that, but take your time. You know?
Yeah.
Don't do too much. Just be in this moment. And it took a while for everyone to kind of, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how it feels. Get used to each other. I feel that a bit, that we got into the rhythm after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not too bad, but it's kind of, people usually tell me like, oh yeah, they're still a little bit awkward to each other. It's like, yeah, we can explain that as a creative choice.
Yeah.
Because they haven't seen each other for 10 years.
Yes,
that's fine.
Exactly.
But if we're all honest with filmmakers, you know, it's not. So
yeah.
For me, in the next film, I would really love to say, okay, we're going to go do, I'll write a short film that's based on the same characters, and we'll just go for 4 days or 5 days. We'll go walking somewhere, and we'll already make that so that not only can the actors really get into the characters and what's that like on camera, but also get used to me, get used to the sound, get used to the camera, so that really, when we start, that's already set.
Yeah.
So that's something that I hope that I'll have time for next time. Because I think it will make everything just a little bit smoother.
Definitely, yeah. And I think as filmmakers, we always see things that we want to change after it's done. I think it's an endless loop of watching it again. Oh, I should have done this or that. I think it's like that with everyone. But you've done a wonderful job with this. And I was going to ask you, what advice would you give to filmmakers that want to do something as ambitious as you with a tighter budget, a smaller crew? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think it's from the start. It's going to see what you have. If you want to make a film where we don't have any lights, we don't have any gaffer, we're only 8 people crew. So there's not a lot of difference between us and shooting something in your backyard. Mm-hmm. And I think if you want to do, okay, we also sometimes shoot inside a house or inside huts and stuff. But then we come in and we look at where's the light, where can we do it that it looks nice? Instead of, oh, we want to do it in that corner because that's the coolest. Like, yeah, but if it doesn't look nice, like, do it with the things that you have. And write a script with, you can do crazy things. What we're doing is pretty crazy, but we don't need anything.
Yeah.
So I think then with the cameras nowadays, it's really easy to make something that looks really nice, but write something and come up with an idea that actually that's gone towards having nothing. So don't, like, indoors is always tricky.
That's true. That's true. Especially with no light.
Yeah, if you have no, which usually is the case, because also light takes a lot of time.
It does, yeah.
We have a camera set up, and 2 minutes later, we can have another camera set up. So we're very quick as well. So if you want to make films, just make films, but be smart about it. Like, okay, you don't need to don't pretend that you're a Hollywood production.
Yeah.
We're not, you know? We sometimes even pretend like we're not a professional film crew. We're just kind of, we are a bunch of friends shooting in, on the mountain.
Yeah.
And that makes it a little bit easier because then there's not all these rules or things or stuff, or you just need 8 people, a camera, sound, actors.
Exactly. I completely
agree. And that's
agree.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what can we expect to see from you in the future? What projects are you planning to work on?
Well, I hope to go to Sweden this summer and shoot like the next film.
Yeah.
That it never started out as I wanted to do a trilogy, but now it kind of feels like, okay, let's do it. That this is a sort of a trilogy with this style.
Yeah.
I like shooting films outdoor, and I think mm-hmm. I'll continue doing that because of the freedom that it gives.
Yeah.
Which is the freedom of not having lights, not having 20 people crew. It's just, if we decide in the moment we want to do something else, we do it. If I decide now I want to do another scene. So
yeah.
I think also for crew working with me, you have to be very adaptable in thinking, okay, we're going to do this, and 2 minutes later it can be something else.
Yeah.
Which is annoying, but you know, if that's what's best, if that's what really works. So I think I'll keep doing a lot of outdoor films. And then with our company, we also want to go into horror.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I think that's also something with a tighter budget, with a really smart idea, you can do something really cool with.
Yes.
Kind of what we learn now with how we set up productions of what's necessary, what's maybe not that necessary, how can we do that? I think it will be really fun to work together with other filmmakers and see what that's like. It's very... how they handle this crazy way of filmmaking.
Exactly. We need more horror in this world. I think horror movies are declining a lot, and we need good ones.
We need more horror movies in this world. Yes. General horror is, I think, enough, but horror movies would be nice.
Yes, exactly. We need more. And I'm curious to ask something. You shot a lot outside, like you mentioned. I don't know how it works in Europe and other countries outside of the US, but how do you work with having permission to shoot outside or filming, you know, people that pass by? I don't know how that worked for your film.
So that's why we shot in Scotland, mm-hmm. and that's why we shot in Scandinavia, because there's no rules. You can do it.
Okay, interesting.
That's why I don't want to shoot it in the Netherlands, because there's too many rules.
Yeah.
For me, then, to have that freedom to really do what I want. So when there's other, and that's also why you see there's not really a lot of other people walking by in the film. The other people that are coming by are actors.
Yeah.
So that just makes it a lot easier. And then maybe someone is walking in the background here and there, but they're so far in the distance. You know, that's quite fine. So I think the location that is so important, because I would love to shoot something also on the border of France and Spain, but the rules there are so tricky. And then there's these huts, and they are owned by people, and you need to contact them, and then you need to set a date. But I don't know if that date I'm going to be there. It's kind of ish, because maybe I am in this other place and I want to stay there for 2 days longer. And, you know, taking away that freedom to make a decision in the moment, which is the best for a film, I think that would be very tough.
Yeah.
So, no, I would also love to shoot, like, Tuan, our camera guy, he's in the US a lot,
mm-hmm.
Because his wife lives close to San Francisco. And he also told me, like, it's amazing then.
Yeah.
So probably there will be a time that we'll to come over and shoot something there whenever that's possible. But then we also have to figure out, okay, which spaces do we not have to take anyone into account?
Yeah, it's not an easy.
No, and because if you don't, like, it's funny, then okay, we have to have park rangers with us. But then I think, but now we were a crew of 5, then we have all these people with us, now we're a crew of 12. The impact that we have on the environment is way more than what we've been if we were just ourselves. And also the nature of the film we're making, and also the people watching it. If we do anything that really is a negative impact on nature, all our viewers are going to hate us and not
watch
the film. So we really have to take that into account.
Definitely.
So for me, like, to have the freedom to pitch my tent wherever I want, to shoot whatever I want, that's the freedom that is also at the moment necessary to make these films.
Exactly, yeah. And that's curious to know that some locations don't have those rules, which helps a lot. Saving money, saving time, logistics, just amazing.
Yeah, because in the US, you would have to have a permit for everywhere?
Mostly, yeah. And sometimes you have to pay, and contacting people, getting those permissions, it's not easy. It's very tricky.
In a In random forests, even you have to have permission.
You have to. I mean, you can try, but you never know. Here, it's very tricky, very tricky.
Ah,
And
okay.
filming strangers on the street as well, you need permission for that. It's
Yeah.
tricky. Even with documentaries, I shot a few, and it's
Yeah.
tricky. You have to have them sign the location release and the actor's release and the extras release. If anyone that shows up in camera, you have to have their signature and their permission. If they're underage, it's trickier. You have to have the parents. So it's a
Wow.
headache. Yeah, it's a headache.
Okay. No, we looked at this in Scotland a lot, and there it is that you everything that's that the public can do, we are also allowed to do.
Yeah.
So if we would go with a car to the middle of nature and drive up a mountain, no, because that's something everyone can do. But if we walk there, and it's the same in Norway when we were there, is as long as we were like I think 10 people crew or less, it was all fine.
Interesting.
So there are rules
Yeah.
which say what is generally a film crew, which is a stampede of like elephants going through nature
Yeah.
and killing everything. Yes, I'm very happy that it's protected towards that. But then with us, usually it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You have to learn your way into the rules without disrupting much, but making it
Yeah,
work for you.
and sometimes, you just also kind of have to quickly do
Exactly. Yeah. Something I
it.
learned from my film professor, she said, don't ask questions sometimes. Just go and do it. If you ask,
Yeah.
then you might
We
not get the
had
answer you want.
we had in Norway that we always kind of like, okay, are we gonna tell these people that oh we're a film crew and they think it's cool and we make it bigger? Or do we make it no, we're just a couple of students and friends and we're just doing this thing and do we make it smaller? Like
Exactly.
what's more likely that they're gonna allow us to film in a hotel?
Yeah.
But then also we're so far away from the big cities that nothing ever really happens in those
Yeah.
places. So usually people are really welcome and interested and happy that we're there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to learn your way around. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there a way that we can follow your film? Do you have a social media page that people can follow, stay updated with your work?
Yeah, so mine is at Bart Schijver 1 on Instagram. We have the North Film on Instagram, and we have Tuesday Studio on
Awesome.
Instagram. And I think that's the best way that you can follow. And then if you want to watch our previous film, it's on tuesdayfilm.com.
Perfect. I'll make sure to share that around. Is there anything
Thank you very
else
much.
that you'd like to share that I might have missed?
No, I think what's the reason I think for why also Tom contacted you is that we're now also selected for the European Film Awards, which
Yes.
is that's something that we never really expected. It's we are so there's I think there were like 270 films sent in, and the best 44 are on the short list. It's kind of
Wow.
the same as what they have with the Oscars.
Yes.
And well, we're surrounded by films that have won Cannes and Berlin and Venice and everything, and then
Yeah.
there's our 750K budget
Wow.
film, which I think is it's well there's always these little testaments of if you just do it then it can happen,
Yeah.
and it always is these other people and now it's us, and I think this is something great, but the success was already when we made the film, we
Yeah.
put it on our own website, and but it's growing a lot, and now we're in 14 different countries
Wow.
that we have distribution. US is not yet there, but we hope that it will come. We're working hard on that. And then the European Film Awards, it's this crown. We're
Yeah.
now just working hard. If we could get a nomination,
That's amazing.
then we can stop making films. We've done it. No, not really. But
Yeah.
that would be very wild. Yeah. So that's what we're working hard for and telling everyone and everyone that wants to listen, also everyone that doesn't want to listen. We just tell
Yeah.
them about the film,
Yeah.
what we've done, and let's see what happens. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'll do my best to share the word around here in the
Thank
US.
you.
And
Thank you so much.
it's my pleasure. I love talking to people like you that are passionate about what they do. I love what I do too, so it's amazing. And I really
Yeah.
hope, I wish you and all your crew all the success in the world. And I hope you can do more amazing projects next year and that I can talk about
Thank
them.
you.
It would be a
Yeah,
pleasure.
perfect. We'll do that. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
and enjoy the festival, and
Thank
I
you.
hope to hear more about you soon.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.